For our scripture reading this morning, we turn in God's Word to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 1. And read through verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We read the Word of God that far this morning, and the text for our sermon is verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, are you a thankful person? Are we a people characterized by genuine gratitude to God? I'm not talking merely about being a person that generally has a good attitude, but do we consciously remember, meditate upon, think about many things that God has done for us and given to us, and are we consciously thankful to God? So often it's the case that that's not true of us in our lives and in our hearts. There's so many dangers, so many obstacles that stand in the way of sincere thanksgiving to God. One of the things that can stand in the way of genuine thanksgiving is that our thankfulness is confined just to one time out of the year, just this one day that's set aside from all of the rest out of the year, and that in this day we're conscious of what God has done for us. We think about all of His blessings to us, and we're thankful. Then in the other 364 days of the year, we only have passing, fleeting thoughts of thankfulness to God. Another obstacle that stands in the way of our genuine thanksgiving to God is that too often our thanksgiving is based upon earthly things, earthly success, and earthly prosperity. Now, we are thankful to God for those things that He has given to us. That's what stands behind our observing of this day with a special worship service. We look back on the past year and we're thankful for all of the material, earthly things that God has given to us. But the danger is that our thanksgiving depends upon those earthly things. Our thanksgiving depends upon whether we have or we don't have earthly things or earthly prosperity. And our thanksgiving is not genuine thanksgiving if it's based upon earthly success, earthly happiness. We can all probably imagine a person that has anything a person could want, surrounded by material things, and yet that person isn't thankful and they're not happy. And we can easily imagine the opposite as well. A person that has almost nothing from an earthly point of view, their life is filled with all kinds of sorrows and trials, and yet they're genuinely thankful and happy. Our thanksgiving may not be based upon the presence or the absence of earthly things. Another danger for us is that we think about earthly things and how thankful we are for them, and we forget about the spiritual things. Someone would ask us today, "What are you thankful for?" How many of us would respond and say, "Well, I'm thankful for family, thankful for food, I'm thankful for freedom, thankful for all of these other things that I have," and forget to say, "I'm thankful for my Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for my salvation, I'm thankful to belong to the Church of Jesus Christ and for all of the spiritual blessings that He's giving to me." So many obstacles that stand in the way of genuine thanksgiving to God. And that's where this passage meets a need for us. Our text informs us of what genuine thanksgiving is. What are the elements of sincere gratitude to God? The word serves as an encouragement then for us today and every day of our life here on this earth to live with sincere thanksgiving to God. Let's consider this text under the theme, "Always thankful for all things." Notice first of all, the striking calling. Secondly, the solid foundation. And then thirdly, the sole possibility. Always thankful for all things. Striking calling, the solid foundation, the sole possibility. God calls us in the text here to be thankful to Him. Now, the form of the text doesn't come out in the idea of a specific command, but to see that, we have to go back to verse 18 where God gives the command, be filled with the Spirit, and flowing out of that are all these other things that are mentioned after that, including giving thanks to God. What does it mean to be thankful? Be thankful means that we have a grateful acknowledgement of all that God has given to us and all that God has done for us. And that grateful acknowledgement of what God has given and what He's done comes out in many different ways in our lives. It comes out through song. That's the connection between our text and the verse which comes right before it. It says, sing in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. One of the things we do is we give thanks to God in that way. We also give thanks to God through our prayers, through our words, and through our whole life that's lived in obedience to God's word. Those are all ways in which we express our thanksgiving, but they all have to flow out of our hearts. If we don't have gratitude in our hearts, then all of these other things are merely outward show and hypocrisy. If I, with my voice, sing songs of thanksgiving to God and I pray words of thanksgiving, but my heart isn't in it and there's not gratitude there, it's merely outward show and hypocrisy. True thanksgiving begins in the heart, with a heart that overflows with gratitude to God. That thanksgiving comes when we're consciously remembering what God has done for us, where we meditate upon, call to mind all that God has given to us, and consciously acknowledge that all of these things come from Him. When we're thinking about that, meditating upon that, consciously aware of that, our hearts are filled with thankfulness, and it's expressed then in the rest of our lives. Think of true thanksgiving as the completion of a circle. That circle is one that begins with God, and from heaven, He bestows upon us here on this earth all of the good gifts that we have. And the purpose of God is that we return those good gifts to Him through our thanks and our praise and our service. But what completes that circle is the grateful heart of the child of God. God bestows upon me all of these good gifts, and with a heart that overflows in gratitude, bring those things back to God in thanksgiving and praise and in His service. God has truly given to us so much. There are so many things that we can remember, consciously acknowledge as God's gifts to us. You can call to mind many material, earthly things that God has provided. Told by many of the farmers that they had another good year this year. God sent the sunshine and timely rain so that there were good yields out of the fields. God crowned the sunshine and the rain with His goodness. It's not just the farmers that are thankful for what God has provided. Every one of us, we're thankful that God has provided us with what we stand in need of. We have homes in which to live. We have vehicles. We have bank accounts that have money in them. We have jobs by which we're able to provide for the needs of our families and have something yet to give to the poor. Some can look back on this past year in thanksgiving because they've been joined by God in marriage to their spouse. They can look back in thanksgiving on this year because God has given the gift of a covenant child or the expectation of a child in the coming weeks and months. Many of us will leave the service this morning, go home to a table that's groaning under the weight of all of the food that's upon it. We'll be gathered together with family members and loved ones. Even though there's some deep division in the country in which we live, still enjoy a time of freedom and peace. We can gather together and worship without fear of persecution. We can go home and sleep in peace at night. We can establish and maintain our good Christian schools. We have so much that God has given to us for which we are thankful. Then we're thankful not only for the earthly things, but then also the spiritual things that God has given to us. And here too, God blesses us so that our cup overflows. Especially are we thankful that God is our Father, that He's established His covenant with us. He's chosen us in love from eternity. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. He, as a Father, draws us to Himself in fellowship and friendship so that we live with Him in the knowledge and the confidence of His love for us. And then, within His covenant fellowship, He bestows upon us a wealth of spiritual treasures. The forgiveness of our many sins, peace with God, comfort, grace that sustains us day by day, and all of the other things that He gives to us. Thankful, God has placed us into the Church of Christ, made us to be members of a true instituted church. We're thankful for the spiritual health and vibrancy of our congregation, for the measure of peace and unity that God has given to us. Thankful for the faithful office bearers that God has placed into our congregation and their work on our behalf. And we could go on and on and on. We could spend all of the hours of this day, we could go day after day, listing and counting all of the things that God has bestowed upon us. Maybe that's beneficial for us today. As we're gathered around that table with family and loved ones, that we take the time to mention and to count some of the many rich blessings that God has bestowed upon us. God calls us to a life of gratitude. But that's not surprising. There's nothing striking about God calling us to be thankful to Him. But what is striking, what is surprising, are the other things that are said here in our text, the other things that modify that main calling to be thankful. What's striking about this text, first of all, is that God calls us to be thankful always or at all times. It's striking because that's so difficult for us. It's difficult for us always and at all times to be thankful. It's very easy for us to be thankful just at this one time of year, at a Thursday, at the end of November, on that day, today, and maybe the days leading up to it, we're thankful. We think about what God has done for us. We consciously meditate upon His blessings to us. And then the rest of the year, we hardly think about that. Just once in a while, with fleeting thoughts, do we actually sit down and remember what God has done for us with gratitude. And even if there are other times throughout the year that we think about our thankfulness to God, doesn't always characterize us. It's very easy for us to be bitter, to be angry, to be discontent, or simply to go on through our earthly life without thinking about God and what He's done for us. It's very easy for us to be unthankful. Someone asks us to do something that we don't want to do, or something happens to us that isn't what we wanted to happen. When something's done to us that we don't like, or something that hurts us. And our attitude in our heart then is not an attitude in a heart of thankfulness to God. And yet that is what God requires of us. As difficult as that is, and as almost impossible as that sounds, God says, give thanks always. Give thanks at all times. Which means year after year, day after day, all our life long, we're to be thankful. Not happen that a day goes by that we don't give conscious thought of what God has done for us. So that every day we're consciously meditating upon God's goodness to us, and in particular, remembering God's gift to us of salvation in Jesus Christ. If our life as a child of God is to be a life of thankfulness and gratitude, it means we're meditating upon and consciously acknowledging God's rich blessings to us. And that ought to shape and mold our attitude then as well. Little children, remember that from chapel not too long ago, the idea of having a gratitude attitude. And that's not something just for the children, that's something for all of us, young and old. But in our heart and in our walk, there is sincere thanksgiving to our God. That's the first striking aspect of the text. The second striking thing that's mentioned here is that we're to be thankful for all things. We're to give thanks always for all things. That really stretches our faith. It's hard for us to imagine that, to be thankful for everything with no qualifiers there, everything that we experience in this life. It's especially difficult for us to imagine. We think about the trials and the afflictions that God sends into our lives. How can we be thankful for those things? Some of God's people haven't experienced wealth and financial success in this past year. Maybe the crop was lost, devastated. There wasn't enough rain. Maybe the child of God struggles in his job to earn enough to provide for the family. There are weighty debts that aren't able to be paid. Can't make ends meet. There are bills that are piling up. Maybe we go home after church and there's a place that's missing. Because God has taken a loved one from us in death, and we're especially mindful of their absence at the holiday season. A spouse with whom we've lived for many, many years. A wife and a mother taken in middle age, a little child. Maybe it's the case that we're experiencing many bodily afflictions. Racked with daily pain, constant surgeries and doctor's appointments. And maybe that's not for us personally, but maybe for a loved one. A loved one that's diagnosed with terminal cancer. Or caring for aging parents that are experiencing dementia and all kinds of other afflictions. Maybe God has given a child with special needs. Maybe the case that we're experiencing sorrows in our relationships with others, breakdown of relationships, being sinned against by another, having a loved one that's walking impenitently in sin. Maybe it's the case that we have desired a relationship, desired a spouse, and God hasn't given one. Or desired a child, and God hasn't been pleased to give one. So many sorrows, so many trials that God sends upon us in this life. Ones that seem too much for us to bear. The burden feels like it's going to crush us and we can't take another step forward on our pilgrim journey. We're completely overwhelmed. We're hopeless. And we're supposed to be thankful? Thankful for those things? Seriously? Difficult for us to imagine. Tempted often to think that we can be thankful maybe in spite of those circumstances. Yes, this is a trial that God has sent into my life, but in spite of that, I'll still be thankful. Maybe I'll think about all the other things that I have in my life, and I'll be thankful for those things. Sometimes we're tempted to think, I can be thankful because I don't have it as bad as someone else. When I compare my life and my sufferings, they're real, but they're not as bad as someone else. And then I'll be thankful. And too often, simply, we're not thankful at all. We can't imagine having a heart of thankfulness in the midst of such a struggle. Too often our response is a response of bitterness, a response of anger toward someone else or toward God. A response can be the response of anxiety and sinful worry about the future. And yet God calls us to be thankful, not just in these circumstances, but for all things. And that's not just this one isolated passage in God's Word that speaks of that. There are a number of other places that say the exact same thing. For example, Philippians 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice, and joy is an expression of gratitude. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We might think that the Apostle Paul had his head in the sand here. He just doesn't get it. But he does get it. When he's writing these words, the Apostle Paul is imprisoned. He's experiencing persecution for his witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew suffering. He knows whereof he writes. And certainly recognizes the difficulty of being thankful for those things, and yet that is the Word of God to us. Always, at all times in our lives, we're to be thankful. God calls us to be thankful for all things. How can that be true? Why would God say that to us? Why would He require of us that we be thankful even for the trials that He sends into our lives? What's the explanation? His calling rests on a solid foundation. That foundation is not something earthly. This gratitude does not depend upon earthly things or earthly happiness. That foundation is in God Himself. It comes out in our text here when it says that we're to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. Our thanksgiving is to be directed always and for all things to our Heavenly Father. And we're to give thanks to Him because everything that we receive comes to us from His hand. We give thanks to Him because He is our God. And as God, He is the sovereign. He's the Almighty. Everything that happens in our life comes to us from His sovereign hand. Which means that there are no mistakes, no accidents, nothing that comes into our lives that shouldn't be there. Both prosperity and adversity come to us from the hand of our sovereign God. But He's also, according to the text, our Father. And you can't tear apart, you can't divorce those two ideas. The fact that God is Almighty, that He's sovereign and powerful in directing the circumstances of our lives, cannot be separated from the fact that God is our Father. His power is the power that's exercised by one who loves us, who treasures us as the apple of His eye. We are so precious to Him as His children. As His children, He works all things for our good and salvation. He does us good and not evil all the days of our life. So that His power is expressed in our lives because He loves us. And everything is done out of that love for us and for our good. That's expressed beautifully to us in the cross of our Savior. You notice that comes out in the text as well. We're to give thanks unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our thanks, because God has sent all of these things into our lives, we respond in gratitude to Him, but that gratitude is expressed to God only in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's only in and through the work of Jesus Christ that we know God as our Father and that we are His children. God, in His love for us, has given to us the most precious gift. He's given to us His Son. And if God has given to us that which is most precious, He's given Jesus Christ to the death of the cross, will He not then give us all the other things that we need? Will He not then direct all things for our good and salvation? And the answer is, of course He does. That's what we read of in Romans 8, verses 31 and 32. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If God gave Christ for us, God is for us. And who can be against us then? Nothing then is against us. All things God works for us for our salvation and good. And it's on that solid foundation that our thanksgiving rests. We can be thankful always and for all things because we remember who our Father is and what He's done for us in Jesus Christ. It's important for us to remember in times of prosperity, when God gives us much from an earthly point of view, the temptation in that circumstance is to give God a mere lip service of thankfulness. To say that we're thankful, but really, we give praise to ourselves. We depend upon our own strength to provide for these things, and we forget about God. Remembering this solid foundation, we remember our own unworthiness. We're humbled in remembering that we don't deserve anything. Not even any of the earthly gifts that God gives to us. The only thing that we deserve is wrath and condemnation because of our sins. And in humility, we live in dependence upon our Heavenly Father. This is important for us to remember, especially in times of adversity. When there's not prosperity, when there are trials and sorrows in life, then to remember especially this solid foundation means that we're to judge our circumstances in the light of who God is. So often we twist those things around and we judge God in the light of our circumstances. And when our circumstances are difficult, we judge God in that light and we doubt Him and His love and His care for us, or we respond in bitterness and anger towards Him, or we don't trust Him and we are guilty of sinful anxiety and worry about the future. We're to judge our circumstances, what we're experiencing, even the trials, in the light of who our God is. We have to start with Him. And remember, He's our Father, that He loves us, that He's given Christ for us, and that these things are for our salvation. This means that in those circumstances, our desire is to praise Him. It's not merely, first of all, get me out of here. Remove this burden from me. Get me out of this trial. But first of all, praise Him. Thank Him. Dwell upon God's good purposes in these sorrows that He sends into our lives. Even in those circumstances, be thankful to Him. That doesn't mean that we always walk around with a smile on our face and a skip in our step. It doesn't mean that we never cry, that we never grieve. We do. Trials that God sends are weighty burdens upon us. Even in the midst of those things, we don't take our eye off our Heavenly Father. Keep our eye on Him who loves us and who expresses that love for us in Jesus Christ. Thankful that God uses those things for our good. We don't judge the trials that God sends upon us by how much they hurt. But we judge them by their outcome, by what God is working in and through us by those things that He sends into our lives. And the day will come when we stand in glory, when we'll see these things more clearly. We don't always see that. We don't always understand that now. But as we stand in glory, we'll acknowledge there wasn't one trial too many. Every one of them was necessary to lead me and prepare me for my place in glory. And glory, too, we'll thank Him for all that He's done in our lives, for prosperity and adversity, leading us to glory and drawing us to Himself and strengthening our faith. Beloved, give thanks always for all things to your God and Father. Maybe hearing all of this, the question is still in your mind, how? How is that even possible? Am I really supposed to fall down on my knees and say, God, thanks that my loved one is gone? God, thanks that we don't have very much and we can't make ends meet. God, thanks for the troubles in my family, for a loved one who's wayward. Really? It's nearly impossible for us. Our faith is not so strong. But that is possible. Possibility is not in ourselves, not in our own strength. But this thanksgiving is possible only by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. It comes out in the text with the connection to verse 18. Verse 18 says, be filled with the Spirit. And what follows in the next three verses are different expressions of that, of being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit, we sing songs of praise to God. Being filled with the Spirit, we're thankful always for all things. Being filled with the Spirit, we submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's only by being filled with the Holy Spirit and His power in us that we're able to give thanks always for all things. And that means that true thankfulness, something that characterizes only a child of God. Now, Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday. The world, the unbelieving man and woman gathers around the table for Thanksgiving. But there's not genuine Thanksgiving there because they don't have the Spirit working in them. And this means for us too that we are thankful when we're conscious of and dependent upon the Spirit. There are times in my life where I may not be conscious of that dependence and actively depending upon the Spirit, and then I'm not thankful. It's when we are dependent upon the power of the Spirit through prayer, through the Word, through which the Holy Spirit works. The Spirit strengthens us and fills us so that we are thankful always for all things. We live in that dependence then. We live in that dependence today. We make that our petition today. God, work in us by the Spirit to make us truly thankful today. We're dependent upon the Spirit all our life long. God, give me the Spirit to have a heart and an attitude and a walk of thanksgiving. So that no matter what it is in our life that we experience, whether it's adversity or prosperity, whether there's much or there's nothing, whether in health or sickness, life or death, we're truly thankful to God. Thankful always for all things to our God and Father. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, give to us that strength of the Spirit. Make us thankful people in this day and all of our life. Strengthen us in our faith, which is so weak. Hold us by thy grace. Work within us truly thankful hearts, thankful for all things knowing thy love for us in Jesus Christ. We pray for thy blessing upon us in this day. Keep us in safety. Bless our fellowship with one another. May all that's done in this day be apart from sin. What we do in sin, Father, forgive graciously. In Jesus' name alone do we pray. Amen.